This video confirms that most Catholics do not know their faith before they leave. There is virtually no ex-Catholic who actually knew their faith before they left. They never read a book written by a Catholic. They really haven't studied deep theology or apologetics. And in some cases they have, like certain priests who have left the faith, but they still really didn't understand their own religion, which is really sad. This will be confirmed in this video by a Catholic priest who left the Catholic Church after 22 years of being a Dominican. This priest left the Catholic Church and has since joined an organization and writes pamphlets and tracts against the Catholic Church to show why Catholics are wrong. But he shoots himself in the foot because he shows that he never had a proper understanding of the Catholic faith to begin with. And we're going to go through some of his arguments in this pamphlet that I received, What Every Catholic Should Know. I received this at World Youth Day, and every anti-Catholic in the world at World Youth Day was handing these out. And so as they would come into the park, they had these leaflets, and I would collect them from the Catholics one at a time and just put them in a bag. And I had a big bag like Santa Claus. And I eventually got to the end of the line where 7 anti-Catholics were handing these out. And I spoke to these anti-Catholics, and we had a good half an hour debate. And at the end of it, they had nothing to say because their arguments don't hold up. They're water. They're straw. And when you understand the Catholic faith and not what you think the Catholic faith is, or false presentations of the Catholic faith, it makes sense. So we're going to go through these arguments, just a few of these arguments of this Catholic priest, to demonstrate that not only did this priest not understand his faith, but many Catholics, most Catholics, don't understand their faith. And I want to challenge them to have a second look at the church they left and the church that Jesus Christ started. Hello, my name is Brian Mercier. If you've never been here before, I am the president of Catholic Truth, an organization dedicated to preaching and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith, and helping Catholics to know, love, and live their Catholic faith. And in this video, we're talking about an ex-Catholic priest who was a Dominican for 22 years and has written a tract, a pamphlet against Catholics. And we're going to give some of his arguments and why they're incorrect. So this pamphlet that he writes is all about the difference between what the Bible says versus the Catholic Church. And he tries to demonstrate that the Bible is true while the Catholic Church is not, except that the Catholic Church gets her teachings from the Bible. So let's go. On the topic of baptism, he says, does baptism save us? The Catholic Church says yes, that salvation begins at baptism, and it is a sacrament that is necessary for salvation. On the other hand, he says the Bible teaches that faith alone will save you, not your good works. And he quotes John 6:29, which says that this is the work of God, that you believe in the one, Jesus, whom God has sent. For if it is by grace, then it is no longer by works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. And of course, he's setting up a straw man argument here, because the Catholic Church teaches also that we are saved by God's grace, and we are saved by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. So he's saying it's either baptism or Jesus, and the Catholic Church has always taught that it's Jesus through baptism. He says baptism doesn't save you, but the Bible actually disagrees with him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:21, you can back up and start looking at verses 13 through 21. It talks about how baptism saves you, and it actually uses the words baptism now saves you. The Bible can't get more clear that baptism saves you. I bet this man has never even looked at this verse or has just overlooked this verse many, many times. In fact, Mark 16:16 says that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Not just he who believes will be saved, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter's giving his speech where he converts 3,000 people, and they're cut to the heart, and they say, what do we need to do to be saved? And he says, just believe in Jesus. No, he didn't actually say that. He says, repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. So faith and baptism go together. They're not against each other. Christ still saves us, but through baptism. And that's what it actually says in the Bible. He's also incorrect about being saved. There's no such thing as being saved in the Bible. That's a new Protestant man-made doctrine that was never heard of in the history of Christianity. It's new. It came over 1,500 years after Christ. You're not saved once and for all. That doctrine was made up and really popularized in the 1700s. Nowhere does it say once saved, always saved in Scripture. And I'm sure people can find all sorts of Bible passages to try to prove that. And there's countless Bible passages against that too. But what did the earliest Christians believe and what was handed on by Jesus himself? Nowhere does it say that we are saved. Now, people will, of course, point to 1 John 5:11-13, where it says, you can know that you are saved. But of course, this is totally taken out of context, and they ignore the rest of the entire book of John, which says, if you love Jesus, if you love your brother, if you walk in the light, if you do not sin, if you follow the commandments, if is used over 21 times just in the first book of John, and if you follow all the ifs, then you will be saved. You don't just get saved by faith alone. That is a man-made doctrine. In fact, the only time the Bible mentions faith alone, those two words, it says we are not saved by faith alone in James 2:24. The next section, he says, what is truth? He says the Catholic Church teaches that the Pope's word is truth, which is not really fully accurate. And he says the Supreme Pontiff, in virtue of his office, possesses infallible teaching authority to... Oh, he didn't even quote the whole verse. He didn't even quote the whole context. He didn't quote anything. He quoted a half a sentence and then put a dot, dot, dot quotation marks. That's what anti-Catholics do. They just look for little things that try to prove their point, and they're not intellectually honest. And that's one thing that frustrates me, is anti-Catholics are not intellectually honest. And he says, in contrast to this, God's word teaches in the Bible that every word of God is true. Catholics agree. He goes on to say, the Bible teaches that Jesus prayed to his Father, consecrate them, for your word is truth. Okay, so far we agree. He continues and said, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. We agree. He goes on to say that only the Bible is God-breathed. Only the Bible is God-breathed. And we agree. But the point is, and here's the question that I have for this ex-Catholic priest, where does it say that the Pope's word is not truth? Where does it say that God can't speak through the Pope? Because I'm pretty sure God has spoken through prophets throughout most of history. I'm pretty sure that God has spoken through his apostles, and God spoke through his apostles throughout the whole book of Acts. They didn't write everything down. They didn't go only by the Bible. They didn't only use the written word. God spoke through them. And in fact, we're talking about God breathed. In John 20:21-23, Jesus, who is God, breathes on the apostles. And this is only the second time in all of Scripture that God has breathed on someone. And Jesus was breathing his divine authority into the apostles so that they could teach and preach the gospel and go out and proclaim his message and have the power to work miracles and be guided by the Holy Spirit and teach the truth in his name. So when they went out and taught, they were preaching the word of God. Notice the word of God is not only written down, and nowhere in the Bible does it say that. And in fact, in Thessalonians, it says the opposite. It says that the word of God is written down and oral. So this man is making a straw man argument again, saying that only the Bible is inspired word of God. And the Bible actually doesn't say that, and it says the opposite. And it doesn't take into account the fact that God has spoken through prophets and apostles and people throughout all of salvation history. He used the gospel writers to write the gospels infallibly. He used Paul to preach the gospel infallibly. Why can't he use other men to speak infallibly when he wishes to as well? Should we have sacred images? The Catholic Church teaches, yes, you can have sacred images. And they quote Canon 1188, but the Bible teaches that no, we are not to make even any graven images. You shall not carve any idols for yourself. And he goes on to quote Exodus chapter 20, which we are quite familiar with, and we have a video on this topic as well. Of course, this is a straw man argument as well. Jesus never said don't make any images. Where does the Bible say never make a single image? It says don't make images and bow down and worship them. And it even says that here, you shall not bow down or worship them. See, the Israelites were surrounded by pagan nations who made idols. They made statues. They worshiped them as gods. They actually thought either they were gods or the gods lived inside of them. And so they worshiped them as gods. And Israel always was taken away. They were always seduced by these pagan nations. And so God was saying, don't make idols for yourself and don't bow down and worship them like the pagans do. And the Catholic Church says, amen. We agree. But having a statue of Martin Luther King Jr. in downtown Philadelphia or Boston or somewhere where you want to remember his memorial, that has nothing to do with worship. That's just remembering someone who lived and having a memory of them. Same thing in the Catholic Church. Statues and stained glass windows are the gospel of the poor. There was no Bible until the 400s, and most people couldn't even read until almost modern times. And so the statues and stained glass windows were the gospel of the poor. When we saw these pictures, we could tell stories of the gospels that they represented. So if we saw Jesus on a cross, we tell the story of how he died for us. If we see a statue of Mary on a horse and she's carrying Jesus and Joseph is next to her, we talk about, well, here's Mary going to bring Jesus to the temple to be offered up to God. Or maybe it's without Jesus and she's on a donkey and okay, well, this is her going to give birth to Jesus. And we tell the story of the nativity. So they're not meant to be worshiped and they're not meant to be anything but pictures, symbolic representations of the people they represent. So that has nothing to do with idolatry. And nowhere does the Bible say don't make any images. In fact, in five chapters later in Exodus, God has statues made. And in fact, Solomon makes statues and graven images throughout the entire temple of God, and these were good and pleasing to God. So it doesn't mean that we can't make any images. It means that we can't worship them. We can't make images to worship. I'll read one more. He says that, is Christ continually offered on the cross as a sacrifice? He says, the Catholic Church says yes, and he quotes Canon 9, remembering that the work of redemption, and of course it goes dot, dot, dot. He doesn't even quote the whole sentence. And then, but he says, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is offered once and for all and has taken his seat now in glory, which we agree with. And if he had taken any time to read his own book in his own religion, Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is a book of Catholic, it's like an encyclopedia of Catholic doctrine. I mean, this is like what we believe. This isn't the only book, but it's like what we believe, and our beliefs come from the Bible and history and tradition, but they're all summed up in this one book. And if he actually took time to read the book that everyone is supposed to read as a Catholic, he would know that we quote in this book, Hebrews chapter 9, where Jesus died once and for all, and then he can't be sacrificed again. And the Mass is not a re-sacrificing of Jesus, as anti-Catholics keep perpetuating. They keep perpetuating the lie that Catholics re-sacrifice Jesus at every Mass. And that just doesn't happen. The Catechism and what the Catholic Church teaches is that the sacrifice of Jesus was done once and for all. I mean, he's God. He can't die again. He's risen forevermore. He's in glory once and for all, forevermore in heaven. But we represent his sacrifice on the cross is represented to us in the Eucharist. In fact, if you look at Revelation 5, 6, it says that they saw the Lion of Judah. They were talking about Jesus risen from the dead. But then when they saw him, it says that he looked like a lamb who had been slain. So he still looked like he was been slain because his sacrifice continues once and for all people. All people haven't been born yet, so his sacrifice continues to be administered to everybody who calls upon his name. And one of the greatest ways that this has ever been done is through the Eucharist. So he's not re-sacrificed. He's not killed at every Mass. I mean, this is literal anti-Catholic literature. I have loads of anti-Catholic books and tracts and pamphlets here that say Jesus is killed again and again and again at every Roman Catholic Mass. And just, they don't even take 2 minutes to understand what Catholics actually believe. And this ex-Catholic priest is really a sad case. He's really sad because he didn't, who knows why he left. It was probably for emotional reasons like most Catholics. They didn't really, I mean, there's two sets of Catholics. You have Catholics who never really knew their faith to begin with. And then the first person who comes across, maybe it's a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness comes to their door and says, hey, look what the Bible says. You're going against God. Because the Catholic never knew their faith, they say, oh, that looks accurate. Okay, I don't want to displease God. I'm going to go join the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the Mormons, or the Baptists, or fill in the blank, because they didn't know their faith. But then other people have more moral issues. They have other struggles. They don't want to follow authority. They don't like people telling them what to do. So people leave for a host of reasons, but it's never for real intellectual reasons, or hardly ever. I've hardly found anyone. Contrast that with heads of seminaries in the Protestant world, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. We're talking pastors, scholars, heads of theological seminaries who are flooding into the Catholic Church because they found out that it's true. They've read the writings of the earliest Christians from the first 500 years of Christianity and realize that they're all Catholic, that they all possess the Catholic faith. They received the truth from Jesus, and they've passed on that one true Catholic faith for 2,000 years. The glorious Catholic faith that has been given by Jesus. So if you're an ex-Catholic, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm asking you to consider re-looking at your church, re-studying your church. I almost left the Catholic Church. I considered the fact that the Catholic Church was wrong because the Jehovah's Witnesses shook my faith because I didn't know my faith. But instead of just running away in fear and running away because, oh my gosh, this sounds right, but I haven't looked at the other side yet, I actually looked up the Catholic side first and studied all the other religions as well, just in case the Catholic Church was wrong. I want to know what's right. I discovered that the Catholic Church is true. It's the only church that goes back 2,000 years. It's the only apostolic church which comes from the apostles. It's the only church which gave us the Bible. It's the only church which goes back and teaches the doctrines of Christ. Faith alone, Bible alone, the new justification, once saved, always saved. All these man-made doctrines were never part of Christian history. They were never part of Christian doctrine. They were never part of Christian biblical interpretation until modern times, which means they are new and man-made, and they're not part of Christ. And many millions of Christians are being deceived because they are not part of the Church of Christ, and they don't have the doctrine or theology of Christ. So please, look into the Catholic Church. Study it for yourself. Pick up a couple Catholic books. One I would recommend if you really want to study the Catholic faith is Catholicism versus Fundamentalism, The Attack on Romanism by Bible Christians. And this gives the history of anti-Catholicism, and it gives a lot of the arguments that they give and why they are wrong and the Catholic Church is right. Get it. Also, check out our YouTube videos if you'd like to know what the Catholic Church actually teaches. That's what we're here for. That's why we are Catholic Truth. No matter who you are or where you're from or what religion you're part of, anyone at any time can come to know what the Catholic Church teaches here and why and how it can change your life. So thank you for watching. If you want to leave a comment down below, please feel free. And please, if you want to help share the truth of this message and get it out there for more people, please share it. Also, please like it. Please comment. All of these things help us to get the word out there and to spread the message of Jesus Christ and his truth. And if you can, please support our ministry, $10 a month, $20 a month, $100 a month. If you would like to help us keep reaching hundreds of thousands and millions of people for Christ, we need your help. We're a nonprofit organization, and you help us to reach the world. So thank you very much, and God bless you.